today we are going to be teaching you guys how to do a variety of things. Each of our students has a 2-minute audio. Let's get started with our first one. Jump right into it. So let me pull up. Let me have him introduce himself first.
Hi, my name is Nate Littlefield. There's going to be a bit of a double introduction here because what I'm about to play is pre-recorded. But you may remember me from last week. Everyone that tuned in, I was the host. I am just going to give you a brief walkthrough of how to change a tire on a car.
Hello, my name is Nate Littlefield, and I am going to explain how to change a tire on a car. Well, the first thing you gotta do is park the car in a flat area where it can't move for anything when it's jacked up. So make sure the area is clear, just really make sure it's flat. The second thing you wanna do is get out whatever you're gonna use to remove the tire lugs. So that could either be a ratchet, it could be a tire iron, or it could be something that came with your car. And you want to undo the bolts on the tire that needs to be replaced. Next, you want to jack up the car. And as you're jacking it up, the wheel might move a little bit, and that's okay. Once you find a spot underneath the car that's safe, a lot of cars have markings underneath to tell you where to jack the vehicle up. You can either crank it by hand or do the pump jack, whatever you have. Most cars come with a jack you crank by hand. And then after that, you want to go over your tire, and if you didn't take off the bolts all the way, you want to unscrew the rest by hand. You want to pop the tire off and put your new tire on, and you want to screw in the bolts in a star pattern, so across from each other. Don't screw them in as a circle, that can ruin your tire. You want to tighten the bolts firmly but not too tight, and then take the car down off the jack nice and slow, and then go ahead and tighten the bolts again in a star pattern. And there you go.
Great job. So glad I learned how to make a tire. Or not make a tire. Screw whatever it was. Change a tire. That's what it was. Okay. So we will have our next student. And I will let him introduce himself. Go ahead.
Well, this is Yu Xuan. What I'm going to say is not a commercial, but I'm going to show you how to use a water filter.
Okay, great. I'm so excited to learn how to use a water filter. Okay.
Good morning, people on the radio. I'm going to show you how to use a Brita water filter. If you don't think that the quality of tap water is good enough for your drinking, you should get one of these. Now, there should be two containers, a small one above the filter and a big one with the tap below the filter. Usually, the first thing you want to do is to drain all the leftover water from the big container on the bottom, because you don't want to drink water left overnight. Now that both containers are empty, close the tap. Remove the container on the top, open the lid, and fill it with regular tap water. Now that it's filled, close the lid, pull it back on top of the big container with the tap. You gotta wait for a while for the water to run through the filter and drop in the big container. All right, finally get a cup, turn off the tap, and get some filtered water.
Very interesting. So we will move on to our next student now, and she will plug hers right in. Okay, if you just wanna start, whatever. Hey,
good morning, everyone. I hope you all are having a wonderful start to your morning. My name is Monson. I'm here today to walk you through how to make my favorite cup of coffee. So this goes out to all of my coffee enthusiasts. I probably have every possible appliance to make coffee in many different ways. Now, before we begin, let me list a couple of appliances you will need if you wish to follow along. You'll need a coffee roaster, a kettle, a kitchen scale, and a clever coffee dripper. So let's begin. The first step is to measure 125 grams of Colombia coffee green beans for roasting. Next, you will place the beans into the Nesco coffee roaster for 21 minutes while aiming for a dark roasted bean. After the coffee beans are done roasting, you'll separate the chaff of the beans through a mesh strainer. You will then measure 20 grams of the roasted beans and place them into a coffee bean grinder. Once the coffee beans are grounded, place a coffee filter into the clever coffee dripper and pour the ground coffee into the filter. Now, you will measure 1100 grams of water into the kettle and wait to reach an ideal temperature of 94 degrees. Set a measuring cup on a scale, and when the kettle reaches 94 degrees, very carefully, pour the hot water into a measuring cup until the scale reads 340 grams. Now, pour the hot water into the clever coffee dripper, place the lid, and set a timer for 5 minutes at which you will extract the coffee. Finally, grab yourself your favorite mug and enjoy one of the best cups of coffees, you'll ever make. Thank you so much for listening, and always remember, it is never too early or too late for a cup of coffee.
Great, very informative. I don't drink coffee, but if I did, then I would know how to make it. So now we will have our next student introduce themselves, if you just want to go ahead.
Hello guys, I'm Hao Han, and today I want to teach you how to make a vanilla milkshake.
Great, excited to see how to make a vanilla milkshake.
So here today I want to teach you how to make a vanilla milkshake. It is pretty easy, and after learning that, you no longer have to go to Grubhub to order a milkshake or buy it from a place a few miles away. In this tutorial, you're gonna make your own vanilla milkshake in 5 minutes. Before we get started, make sure you have 1 teaspoon of vanilla because we're making a vanilla milkshake, and 2/3 of a cup of vanilla ice cream, and 1 cup of milk. If you want more milkshake to be made, just add up each type of ingredients with the same ratio. Getting ready with your ingredients, let's get started. So first of all, preparation. Take out a blender. If you don't have one, buy one. This is the prerequisite of our Milkshake 101 class. It will be better if your blender is clean. Nobody wants the taste of onion when drinking a vanilla milkshake. So now secondly, we're gonna put our ingredients, which is milk, vanilla, and ice cream in a blender. And for the last step, you're gonna blend until it is creamy and smooth. If you are having the same amount of ingredients as I mentioned, you should be done with the blending in 3 minutes. And that's it. Isn't this easy? Feel free to add some toppings. Don't forget to show your work to your friends and family.
Great tutorial on how to make a milkshake. Your blender is a lot quieter than mine is. So now we will have our next student introduce themselves and show you what they're gonna show you. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Austin Chu, and this is my process audio recording.
This is how to write an essay. First, get out a pen, paper, and notebook. Write down all your thoughts and ideas and get a general draft going. Nothing is final yet, just get a good idea started. Now look at the time. It's only been a few minutes, right? Maybe a half hour, hour? You got this. Maybe. Continue writing. Start to get your thoughts in order and plan the whole thing out. Check the time again. Oh, it's already been a few hours. And not much has been written yet. Okay, time to start typing. Open a Word program and get going. Let the words just fall out onto the page, letting your notebook guide every button press. And continue typing, typing, and typing, and oh. These ideas aren't going to work out, is it? These notes aren't going anywhere, everything is jumbled, and essays falling apart. Okay, no big deal. We still have a few days. Let's toss these old notes away and get a fresh start the next morning. The next day. You wake up, grab a cup of coffee, sit down at your desk, and start typing away again. This time we're just going to wing it. You write a really good introduction, something that really grabs the reader's attention, something exciting, fun, interesting, or just something crazy you thought of in the moment. Whatever it is, just keep going. And hey, would you look at that? You got the introduction done. Good job. Now take the rest of the day off to reward yourself. You still got time, right? The next day. You realize the essay is due in 12 hours, and you have one paragraph done. Okay, don't panic. Just spend the whole day writing. Nothing else, just writing. And so you kick into overdrive. Your mind creates thoughts, ideas, connections, just as fast as you type it all onto the screen. Nothing can stop you. The paragraphs just start to write themselves. This is going great. Make sure to throw in some sources in there too to sound extra credible. Use some big words so you can sound super duper smart and stuff. Finally, the essay is completed. You submit it right before the deadline and reward yourself with a good night's rest. A few days pass. You go to check your grade. You see the fruits of your labor, or lack thereof. And, oh, well, there's always next time.
Wow, great tutorial. Very good for all you college students out there. I know as a political science major, I write a lot of essays. So we will have our next student go now, and I will let him introduce himself. Go ahead.
All right. Good morning. This is Jerry Tsai, and today I'll be teaching you how to load your film into your camera in my process and mix.
Good morning. This is Jerry Tsai at KDRT 95.7. And today, I will be teaching you how to load a roll of film into a 35mm format single lens reflex camera. The first step is to lift your rewind lever on the top of your camera. This opens the back of your camera, and we can proceed to the next step. The second step is to load your film. Start with taking out your roll of film from its box. After that, pull out the end of your roll and insert it in the takeout spool on the far right of your camera. Then, pull your roll back. Make sure it aligns with the guiding lines above and below the shutter. Pull the roll into the film compartment and push down the rewind lever to stabilize it. After checking everything looks good, use the film advanced lever and rewind lever to check if you load your film correctly. If you do, close the back of camera. If you aren't, redo the above steps again. And this is how you can load your film into your 35mm single lens reflex camera. Have fun with your photo shoot.
Great tutorial. I know I'm in a photography class right now, and I have a DSLR, but if I had a film camera, I'd actually know how to use it now, but I don't. But if I did, that would be so useful. So we have our next student. I will let him introduce himself.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Cole Pelt, and I'm coming to you live from Davis, California. It's a special day today here in America because it's opening day in the MLB. Go Giants. So now, I'm going to play for you my process mix that's not about baseball, but baked potatoes.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Potatoes. Without a doubt, they're my favorite vegetable. Be it tots, fries, mashed, or au gratin, they never miss. There is one form, however, that warms my soul quite like no other. The baked potato. Having family from Eastern Idaho, I'd be sure to get my fill upon each visit. With years of experience under my belt, I will now guide you on the path to the perfect baked potato. Find a russet potato to your liking. Poke holes with the fork into all sides of the potato for proper steaming action. Do not wrap it tinfoil, or you'll create too much steam. No one likes a soggy potato. Preheat the oven to 450. Place your potato on a baking sheet and pop that bad boy in. Now wait 45 minutes. You'll know it's done once the skin appears wrinkly. Remove your potato from the oven and immediately cut into its flesh. Drop a slab of butter and a handful of shredded cheese in there as it releases steam. Wait another 5 minutes for it to cool, then add salt, pepper, and a healthy dollop of sour cream. Now that we're just about done, people often overlook the secret ingredient to the perfect baked potato, which is absolutely crucial. Getting baked.
Mmm, that smells good. I just love baked potatoes, don't you?
Mmm, delicious.
That was very interesting. I'm so glad I know how to make a baked potato now. Very delicious. I don't know how to cook, so I will be using that in the future, probably tonight. Anyways, on to our next student. I will let him introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Matt Holliday, and I will be showing you guys how to row properly. All right.
All right, I'm going to show you guys how to row today, proper technique, starting on a rowing machine, also called an erg, and then if we have time, I'll show you on the water. All right, first thing we're going to do, we're going to get strapped into the rowing machine. You're going to have a seat right now. Strap these feet in, and you're going to grab the handle. Now, it's very important to get this technique right. You start by pushing down the legs, then leaning back, and then arms. And then you release your arms, and then lean forward, and then bend your knees. And you want to do it just like that. Knees, back, arm, arm, back, knees. All right, now we're going to take some heavier strokes. Let's go. Kick it up a little bit. Keep that consistency. Go slow up and push. Slow up and push. All right, you're going to start sweating. Let's go. Remember, legs, back, arms, arms, back, leg. Let's go, let's go. Keep our back straight. All right, make sure you really push down with those legs. That's the most important part. All right. You can unstrap yourself. Let's work our way to a boat. Get some proper technique here. All right, we're sculling here, so we gotta keep our left hand over our right hand. Same exact motion. Legs, arms, back, legs. Let's go, here we go. Keep that balance, keep the left hand slightly over the right. Nice, 2 kilometers to go, let's go.
Okay, great tutorial. I always wanted to learn how to row because I feel like that's like a very college thing, like to join like a rowing team, but I never did. But, you know, if I could go back in time, I would have, but oh well, it's in the past now. Anyways, our next student will be going and I will let her introduce herself. Go ahead. Hi, everyone. My name is Kana, and today I will be explaining how to create a cupcake.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kana, and today I will be teaching you guys how to make Easter Peeps bunny cupcakes since Easter is right around the corner. We will be making about 24 servings with this recipe. For the cupcakes, you will need following ingredients: 1 box carrot cake mix, 1 cup butter, 1 cup whole milk, 3 eggs, 2 teaspoons vanilla extract, 1.5 cup shredded carrots. For frosting, you will need 8 ounces cream cheese room temperature, 4 tablespoons unsalted butter room temperature, 2 cups powdered sugar, 1 to 2 teaspoons vanilla extract. Last but not least, for toppings, prepare pesto sprinkles and 24 Peeps bunny marshmallows. First, let's begin with preheating the oven to 325 Fahrenheit. Meanwhile, in a large bowl, beat cake mix, butter, milk, vanilla, and eggs on a low speed for 30 seconds. Increase the medium speed for 2 additional minutes. Now let's pour into baking cups in cupcake pan, filling each about 80% full. After, let's bake for 17-22 minutes. After, allow it to cool completely. Now we're gonna move on to making frosting. Cream together the cream cheese and the butter in a bowl of a stand mixer. And in there, add the powdered sugar in 1 cup at a time. Lastly, add in the vanilla extract. Now let's move on to the best part, decorating. Let's cut out a hole in the center of cupcake in which to place a peep. After placing the bunnies, let's pipe your frosting over cupcakes around the peep. Top with sprinkles and enjoy.
Okay, great tutorial. I don't know how to make Easter cupcakes, but now I do. So exciting for that. Easter is coming up. I don't know, some people do a lot of things for Easter. Like they have like presents and everything. My family doesn't. My parents are actually not in the country. So I'm actually doing nothing for Easter. So if you want to get me an Easter basket, then please do. Kind of sad, but it's okay. I will be having the next student introduce themselves. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's still morning. Is it? Hello? My name is Erica, and for this assignment, I thought it would just be easiest to talk about what I made for dinner last night, which was a delicious bagel sandwich. So, the first part of my bagel sandwich process consists of just gathering my materials. This is what you're going to need if you ever want to make the best sandwich of your life. I like using Trader Joe's Everything Bagels, not sponsored. Some tasty hummus. I like using either garlic, lemon, pine nut, roasted red pepper, or homemade hummus. But, of course, it's all about your own personal preference. So, anyways, I also get some shredded carrots, cucumber, bell pepper, not green, so red, orange, or yellow. I like to use some dill pickles, banana peppers, and then what I typically do is I only cut as much as I need for the sandwich. Don't cut up an entire cucumber or pepper. You're gonna be left with way too much. Oh, there's my little background music. Hope you enjoy some Grateful Dead. Really sets the vibe for the sandwich. And then, where was I with this thing? So first, now we're down to the sandwich making process. First, I like to cut my bagel in half, and I like to toast it. So, boom, all right, your bagel's toasted, great. All right, then I like to chop up my cucumber, my bell peppers, my pickles, and my banana peppers. So chop, chop. I like to dice them so that when I'm constructing my sandwich, I can get an even veggie distribution throughout. Once all of my toppings are diced, I then slather on some hummus to each half the bagel, and then I start topping with the carrots and the cucumbers, because they're kind of the bulkies, so we'll go with those first. And then I add on the bell peppers and the pickles and the banana peppers, and then after that, it is complete. I like to eat it like an open-faced sandwich because it's definitely a little topping heavy, but you could always stack it together. So go home, give this a try. It's my favorite sandwich. I hope you guys enjoy it as well.
Wow, great tutorial. So glad I know how to make a sandwich now. My go-to sandwich is peanut butter and jelly, but now I know how to make another sandwich, a hummus sandwich. Okay, so now I'm actually going to switch it over to another host. We have Vivian right here. If you just want to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Vivian, and I'll be your host from now. And I can see that our next student is already available for his show, so I'll just let him begin.
Hello, everyone. This is Yifeng Wang, and here's my process mix.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Yifeng Wang. Good morning, everyone. My name is Yifeng Wang. And today, I'm going to show you how to make your own toothpaste at home. It's really simple. We only need four ingredients: coconut oil, baking soda, xylitol, and peppermint extract. These ingredients are really easy to find. You probably already have them in your kitchen. Here's what we're gonna do. First, grab a big mixing bowl if you have one, because we're gonna need to stir the mixtures real good. Now, put a half cup of baking soda into the bowl. And we're gonna put in around 5 tablespoons of xylitol. You can add more if you want your toothpaste to be sweeter. Now we're gonna put in half cup of coconut oil. It should be the same amount as the baking soda. Last but not least, 2 tablespoons of peppermint extract, or you can choose your own flavor. After we got all the ingredients in the bowl, let's mix it up. At the beginning, it's gonna be a little dry and seems like you need water. Trust me, you don't need to. Just keep mixing them, the coconut oil will start to blend together.
A few moments later.
Alright, that looks pretty good. Now we're just gonna need to scoop it out and put them into a small jar. And there you go. That's how you make your own homemade toothpaste. It is super easy, saves your money, and non-toxic. I hope you liked it, and bye. Good morning, everyone. My name is Yifeng Wang.
That's a great tutorial. That's my first time hearing that you can make your own toothpaste at home. And now let me bring up our next student.
Hi guys, so this is the Xu Wang, and today I'm gonna introduce you guys how to play a record.
Hi guys, this is the Xu Wang, and today I'd like to introduce you guys my habit, listening to the records. So first we need to open the record player and turn on the power switch and remove the protective cover. Then we can select the records. So let me check what I have. Okay, I think I'm gonna play this one. So this is from my favorite music band, Sunset Roller Coaster, and this is their album Jinji Kiko. So let me turn to the side B. Okay, let's enjoy the music.
Every time you say goodbye,
Well, that's a good skill to learn. Although, like, now we all play music on our phone, but still, I noticed that a lot of people still want to play their records, and it's a good skill for everybody to know. And now, let me bring up the next student.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yi Yuan, and today I'm gonna share my skincare process.
Hi, everyone. Now I'm going to record an audio of the last 2 minutes of my bedtime every night.
And before I start, I'm gonna open a small lamp. The fan light will make me feel drowsy. Okay, let's start record my skincare process. The first is toner, and we know water is the origin of life. Using this will make me less prone to allergies. And then there's the essence, which is a kind of official skincare product. And different essences have different effects. The next step is eye cream. This is the most important skincare step for me. Okay, my skincare process is finished. Now I'm going to use a comb through my hair now, which will make me feel relaxed. The last step is to drink a little water. Because the body is constantly consuming water while sleeping, drinking a little bit water can help my sleep. And this is my last 2 minutes before I go to sleep. Thank you for listening. Bye bye.
That's a really cool procedure for people who are having a harsh day. It will calm people down and have you have a great night. I'll introduce you guys to the next student.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. My name is Steven, and here's my process mix.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Once again, my name is Steven, and here we are reporting live from Davis, California. For my process mix, we'll be making my favorite morning pick-me-up. And since it is getting a little warmer out, I thought I'd make it iced. So let's get this started. So, for my iced coffee recipe, we'll start by choosing a pod. This almost always seems to be the hardest part of the coffee because there's so many options, but today we'll go with the Starbucks Pike Place medium roast. So let's go pop that in. Now let's go fill the water reservoir. I'm going to put in about 8 ounces since I am using the Keurig K Mini. And while that brews, let's get a cup filled with more than halfway with ice cubes and set it above the drip tray. It should take about 2 minutes because once again, like I said earlier, I am using the Keurig K Mini. We can hear it pouring now. As the coffee pours, it should melt down most of the ice, but still leave a good amount since we are going with an iced coffee today. And now that all the coffee settled in, we should have just enough room for some creamer. Today, I'm going to spice things up, and I'm going to start with a splash of caramel and top it off with my favorite Oatly oat milk. And now, You're just gonna wanna give it a nice good stir. And there you have it, folks. My favorite morning pick-me-up. It tastes so good, and now I'm ready to head off to campus in my hashtag Aggies succeeding era. That's all the time I have today, folks. If any of you do try out my drink, call in and let me know what you thought.
Coffee lovers, I think you guys should try it at home. I'm pretty sure it will boost your day. So now let me introduce you guys to the next student.
Hi, I'm Melissa, and I'm going to show you my morning routine.
My name is Melissa, and I hope you're all having a lovely morning. I know we each have our own process for getting ready in the morning, and although at times it can change, I'd like to share with you all the process of how I typically tend to get ready for school. First of all, for background context, I usually go to bed pretty late, working on assignments that I most likely have been procrastinating. But once I've done all the work that needs to be done, I usually go to sleep. Sound asleep, I hear my alarm clock telling me it's time to get up. It's about 7 a.m. and I'm staring at the clock in anguish. I end up actually getting out of bed at around 7:15. I then hop into the shower to start to get ready. Once out of the shower, I head to the sink where I brush my teeth, wash my face, and put on my sunscreen. It's usually now about 8 a.m., so I then walk over to my room, where I go into my closet and start searching for the outfit of the day. Once I'm all dressed up, I'll head over to the kitchen where I'll make myself breakfast, which can be between a smoothie, oatmeal, or cereal. However, whenever I'm really late, I'll just grab an apple and head out the door. On a usual day after eating, I'd start packing my bag for school. Putting in my laptop, water bottle, books, and or snacks into my backpack. When I'm all packed, I check the time and usually notice that I'm about to be late. So I grab my stuff and my keys, and I either grab my bike to ride to campus, or head out the door to catch the bus. And this is basically my rundown process of my morning routine that I try to do every day. I hope you can all try and maybe relate to this college student's simple routine. And who knows, maybe some of you will start to pick up on some of my morning routine habits too. Thank you!
Thank you for telling us your morning routine. That's really organized, but I'm quite sure that everybody's morning routine is organized by its own way. Our next student will give us his radio manifesto first, and then his procedure for whatever he's interested on.
Yep, thank you. So I thought I'd start out with talking a little bit about what radio means to me. So although radio seems to be used less and less as time goes on, I will never forget really the simple times of picking up my mother's portable radio and earbuds and flipping through the different radio stations as a young child. Yep, and to me, FM and AM radio used to feel like switching between different dimensions. FM radio had a plentiful amount of stations, while AM felt desolate as if it had been abandoned some time ago. As I listened to the radio, I began to remember the order and frequency of the numbers of the stations, learning what each station offered, usually their genre of music or news. I started learning what I liked for music and began building a musical taste. Exploring the different frequencies of the radio station began to feel like exploring a world only traversable by sound. And it's something spectacular I can never forget. So as our lives switch more to digital and streaming forms of communication, I find it important to understand the basis on which we first began sharing information. To me, radio is freedom. It is the possibility to inform others via the wide span of radio waves. They transmit the creativity, news, and ideas to people. Radio is around us all the time, being sent out invisibly throughout the day and night. Most people today can't even remember a time when radio was not a part of their lives. Since its early invention in 1895, to transmit Morse code, radio has come a long way to be able to broadcast stronger signals, such as the 1920s announcement of the presidential elections. And now a plethora of radio stations like this one, now available all across the globe. Radio is for the public, by the public. It has been the voice of people throughout oppression, the medium through which people express themselves, in a way people express their views. Yep. And now today, I wanted to share with you a process mix of how to deal with stress through the life of a burnt-out college student. So, go ahead and play that.
You wake up and take a swig of that all-too-familiar brown liquid and begin working like no tomorrow because, of course, what is it tomorrow if you don't get this assignment done? You walk to your class thinking about the group project that you've been assigned, that you don't notice the cool air that brushes your cheek as you walk, and the fresh scent of the floor. You enter your classroom as your gut sinks as you realize that the assignment you turned in last night was actually incorrect, and it means that points are being detected. You leave class to walk back to your apartment room as the sun sets behind you, but the only thing on your mind right now is how you're supposed to finish an 8-page paper that's due at midnight. Hop on your desk and let that sweet, sweet burn of the computer's LCD screen hit your eyes. That white blank void of the Word doc, or Google Doc if that's your preference, waits patiently for a sentence, a word, even a letter to grace the page. This is what you've been thinking about all day. Let's get to it. Come on. Let's just write. Actually, how could you work without a snack? Or how about a shower to calm the nerves? You have to moisturize that face, right? Alright, let's get... No. It can't be. It's already midnight. How can I let this happen? I let the due date pass by me. Why do I always have to be like this? Why can't I just focus on my work? I'm always thinking about something else. Why don't I just focus on... I'm such an idiot. I don't think I'm cut out for school. I might as well just pick up a minimum wage job because I'm never going to be anything more than this. Stop. Just breathe. Sometimes you get so caught up in the work that you forget to appreciate the life around you. Be patient, and all good things will come with time.
All right, thank you. I relate to that a lot. Let me bring up our next student.
Hey, all. This is Joseph, and for my process mix, I'm going to be teaching y'all how to make instant noodles.
This is how you make instant noodles. First, buy instant noodles from your local grocery store. Asian supermarkets often have the best selection of noodles. However, you might get lost in what to get. They're soup-based, they're dried noodles. Do you want them spicy to the point where it'll burn your tongue off and spend countless hours fighting on the toilet afterwards? Or do you want a creamy or even savory noodle? There's so much to choose from, but you'll probably end up getting the red packet that everyone loves, Shin Ramen. Or reach for its fancier brother, Shin Black. Or if you're on a real budget, Top Ramen. After choosing your instant noodles, get yourself a pot and fill it up with water. Put the pot on your stove and set the heat to high and place a lid on top. While waiting for your water to boil, contemplate life. Or maybe just eat a snack. Either or works. Once the water is boiling, add in your noodles. Some people put in the flavoring packets into the water first, but whatever floats your boat. Then reduce the heat to medium high. After about 2 or 3 minutes, stir the noodles around to break them apart. Allow for the noodles to separate naturally before adding in the seasoning packet. Once adding the seasoning packet, allow the powder to be incorporated into the noodles. Well, that should be about a minute or two. Once the noodles look ready, put into a bowl or eat it straight from the pot for less dishes. Or if you want to fancy it up, put it into a bowl, add some green onions, maybe some seaweed, even some meat, maybe add some vegetables. Whatever you have left that's shown in your fridge, pretty much. Pick up the noodles and blow on them to cool them off, and enjoy. Though you still may burn your tongue after numerous breaths you took to cool them off, it's kind of part of the process. And that's how you make instant noodles.
All right, thank you. That really reminds me of the time that I don't have time to cook. Thank you, and now I'll bring up the next student.
Hello, good morning everyone. My name is Emerald, and I recently did my nails, so today I'm going to teach you guys how to remove gel polish at home.
Hello, my name is Emerald, and today I'm going to be guiding you guys on how to remove gel polish at home.
So the materials that you guys are going to need is acetone, a glass bowl, a cuticle pusher or any type of scraping tool that you have, a nail filer, and a nail buffer. So the first thing that we're going to do is we are going to file our nails with the nail filer, and we just want to get all of the gloss and all of the shine off of our nail polish. This is going to make sure that we get the very surface removed so that when we use the acetone can penetrate all the layers underneath. So now that you've filed all of your nails, you're just going to pour in as much acetone into your bowl so that your nails are going to be able to be submerged. And we are going to keep our nails submerged for about 15 minutes. So after the 15 minutes, our nails are completely soaked, and you can see that the gel polish is even lifting from our natural nails. And that's when we can go ahead and take our nail scraper, and we're going to lightly scrape off all of the gel polish. And you want to make sure that you're doing this with a light hand because your natural nail is really soft and prone to damage. So now that all of the gel polish is scraped off, you can go ahead, you're going to take your buffer, and you're just going to buff the surface of your nails. So what this is going to do is it's going to even out the shape of your nail surface, and it's also going to provide a bit of shine. And after you're done buffing, you can go ahead and put on some cuticle oil if you want, it's optional. But that's the end. I hope you guys try it, and good luck.
Thank you. I have no extension on me right now, and I feel like I really need that tutorial. So next, I'm gonna teach you guys how to make some cocktails.
Good morning. This is Vivian here, and yes, I know it's morning time, but I'm gonna teach you guys to make some traditional cocktails that are easy to make. Maybe you can make them today after you finish your harsh day. The first one I would like to introduce to you is whiskey sour. Whiskey sour is traditionally made with whiskey, lemon juice, sugar, and egg white. So if you're a person that loves the sour taste and whiskey, you should definitely try this out. The ingredients we need are 50 ml of whiskey, 35 ml of lemon juice, and some sugar syrup, 1 half egg white, and 2 dashes of bitters. First, put all the ingredients except the egg white into the shaker with ice and mix it well. Then, strain it into the glass filled with ice. Then beat up the egg white and pour it on top of the drink. You could drink it like that if you don't want any decorations, but you could also put some lemon peels on top of it. The second one is Long Island iced tea. This one is relatively sweeter than the whiskey sour, and since we could use more and multiple types of alcohol, make sure that you don't drink too much, even though it's really delicious. The ingredients we need for Long Island iced tea are 20 ml of vodka, white rum, silver tequila, gin, triple sec, simple syrup, lemon juice, and cola. We will start by mixing all the ingredients except cola in a shaker with ice and pour it out on a Collins glass that is filled with ice. Then you can fill up the empty spaces in the glass with cola, and it's finished. If you want some decorations, you can cut out a piece of lemon and stick it onto the glass. Here are the two cocktails that I really love to drink, and I hope that you can try it out at home too.
Alright, I really love those two cocktails, and I hope that you guys can try it at home. So next, I'll bring up our next student.
Hello everyone, my name is Reina, and I'm going to explain the process of making a candle. Do is fill a pot about halfway with water, and to kind of explain, I'm going to be doing what is known as a double boiling method, which is basically when one pot has the actual candle wax, while a separate one has the water. So the pot with the wax will be inside the one with boiling water. But be careful not to get any of the water inside the wax because that could be dangerous. So when that's done, you're going to have to put the pot with water on the stove and turn the fire all the way up. And while the water is getting hot on the stove, we're going to have to put some wax into another pot, but this one has to be smaller than the first one because it's going to be placed inside of it. And I'm using soy wax beads to make my candle, and you can get it most places online. So since the water is boiling, we can now put our waxy pot inside of the one with hot water. And while we wait for the fire and the wax to melt, feel free to stir it. And so the pot of wax has to stay in the water until it's fully melted and has a temp of 185 degrees. This can be measured with a food thermometer, but even when it's ready, we want to leave it in there and kind of let it cool for 10 to 15 minutes, because if you put hot wax into glass, I think it could explode. So please wait until it's kind of cool before messing with it. The wax should be cool enough now, so I'm going to turn off the fire and add some green coloring because I like green and fragrant, so the candles don't smell like the air. And carefully, we're also going to pour the wax into these glass candle jars that I have. And after this, the candle should sit for about 2 to 3 hours. And if the top is ugly or looks sunken, you can just heat the top with a heat gun, which is what I'm going to do now. And then it will melt and be smooth. So yeah, after that, you should have a candle. Thanks for listening and learning.
All right. Thank you for teaching us how to make wax or candles in at home. And now I'll bring up our last student who are going to teach us something. All right.
No, I have the gun.
All right, so now let's hear from our last student.
Hi, this is Mariah. I was here earlier, if you recall, if you were here like 20 minutes ago. So I will be showing you all how to do a backbend so you can be Simone Biles at the Olympics. Just kidding. Maybe, I mean, maybe this will jumpstart your gymnastics career. Anyways, so here is my audio.
I'm going to be teaching you how to do a backbend this morning. So first, what you're going to do is you're going to stretch out your arms. So you're going to raise your arms way up high to the ceiling, stretch out your fingers as wide as you can, and I'm going to crack my fingers just to make sure that that everything's just stretched out. And now I'm actually going to be focusing more on my balance than flexibility. I'm going to make sure that my legs are about shoulder width apart, a little bit more than shoulder width apart, and I'm going to make sure I have a really firm stance into the ground. And you want to make sure you also have ample space, so I have moved everything out of the way so that I don't hit my head on anything. So next, what you're going to want to do is you're going to plant your legs as firmly and your feet as firmly as possible into the ground, and you're just going to stretch all the way up and lean back as far as you can until you reach the ground. And you're going to want to make sure your hands are facing the so once your hands are on the ground, you want the fingers facing your feet. So I'm just going to keep moving back. And you can adjust your stance as needed, making it a little bit wider as you make that big arch. And then you can also bring them in once you are in the back bend. So now you're getting a great back stretch. And now you're gonna probably have to get out of the back bend soon because blood is probably rushing to your head. So now my way of getting out of a back bend is a little bit unconventional. I just collapse all my limbs onto the floor and just make sure my head doesn't hit the floor. So I'm just gonna do that, and then I'm gonna roll forward onto my feet. So that is how you do a back bend, and it's not my fault if you get injured, but hopefully you don't. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Mariah. That concludes our show today. Well, not our show, but our program, what we're going to be running today. I'd like to thank our other two hosts. That was their first time really running the board and hosting a show. I think they did a great job. I'm going to go ahead and get some music going for us so we can fill these last few minutes here. I'm actually sitting down with Erica, and she has a burning question for me.
It's a very important question. So, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 50 duck-sized horses?
Wow. Okay, so that is a tough question. Yeah. That's tough.
Think, because a horse-sized duck, that's a big duck, and it can fly.
It can fly?
You think
it can fly? So it can defy the laws of physics?
Yeah. Just, so, it's a big duck. That's all it is.
And versus I have to fight 50, it?
Yeah,
just
you have to
hand,
fight it.
Just hand.
Hands
just
on, yeah.
Hand combat?
Yeah. Or would you rather fight 50 duck-sized horses? So little
horses. I
would
feel, if I'm being totally honest here, I would feel pretty bad just kicking ducks in the head for like 20 minutes. Because that's how I would do it, I guess. But I would be more terrified of a ginormous
duck.
Flying, you know, physic-defying animal.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to go for those 50 ducks.
The 50 duck-sized horses. So that's little horses.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I you know, it gets confusing here when we're mixing animals.
That would be my
horse,
answer.
Are they... I mean, they're as strong as... Can you ride these duck-sized horses?
Well,
can you put a child
on
them?
I think you might squish them.
Well, yeah.
Because they're so little. If
the giant duck can fly, these horses, you should be able to ride them.
Oh,
right?
You make a good point.
Make sense?
Yeah. If we're ignoring physics here, I think you make a good point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go with all the mini horses. Yeah, I
good
said
choice.
Kicking ducks earlier. I guess I would just be kicking horses for...
That, I mean, with one good kick, you can kind of take out like 10 of them, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know how aggressive horses are. Ducks can be mean. I guess I'm thinking more of geese.
Yeah, goose or a swan.
I mean, horses kick hard. But regardless, that's the show. This is Nate Littlefield. You're tuned in to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California, where the grassroots grow. I'd like to thank the whole class. Thank you, Erica, for that fantastic question.
You're welcome.
And we will be back next week at the same time. That...
You know I'm crazy about you, and I just wish you would change your evil way. You know, girl, in my dream, you know I'm crazy about you, and I just wish the world you would change your evil way. I just think about you, baby. I think about you every night and day. Girl of my dream, you know I'm wild about you. I just want you to please come on back home to me. My dream, you know I'm just wild about you, baby. And baby, why don't you please come on back home to me? I just want you to come on back to Yang Rachel, and I just want you to hear.